I think we'll go ahead and get started. On behalf of myself and Richard Spivak, Julia Lane, and Susie Iacono, I'd like to welcome all of you, and I'm Susan Turnbull, I'd like to welcome all of you to our Collaborative Expedition Workshop 79. Our focus today is on the science of science policy. I'd like to take just a couple minutes to orient you to the workshop series itself. And then we'll be turning to Julia Lane. I think our theme today is a very important one. You'll be learning about the work over the last year of an interagency task group that was commissioned by Dr. Marburger in the Office of Science and Technology Policy. It's an important ongoing dialogue that you all have an opportunity to participate in today. I think it will be a very lively discussion. But first, I'd like to just give you a little backdrop to our workshop series. This is an event that is held on a monthly basis, and I actually believe that part of this workshop series can be a complement to the overall high-level purposes of the science policy from the perspective that part of what we need to do is open up and broaden participation. And take measures to organize in such a way that we transcend our insularity. So this workshop series was actually conceived about almost eight years ago now as a means to seek to do that in a way that engages people from federal agencies, state and local governments, but it's actually not limited there. Within our federal settings, I'm from GSA, the Office of Intergovernmental Solutions, we're really trying to transcend the type of impediments that the capacity for the right teams of people to work together around a shared mission, and that actually extends beyond our federal settings. So what we try to do each month is organize around a common purpose that's actually larger than any entity, including our federal government and our government bodies, and to have good quality dialogue that is kind of at the crossroads place. And so, in effect, you return to your respective settings. You're here because you care about this purpose. You return to your respective settings, but hopefully with a larger context of the whole picture. And this is part of what we think is a part of the formula for the type of breakthrough innovations that are key and part of the reason that we want to refresh and better understand our science policy process, and that is to be in a position to tap and create the environment as necessary for innovation. Increasingly, in our federal agencies, we recognize that being insular really is a vulnerability. We're really working to build the built-to-share types of infrastructures and the cultural environment. But that said, we certainly know that there is a lot of specificity, specialized information, and how is it that we can both be better informed in a way that's meaningful, given that we represent different forms of expertise and not overwhelmed by the complexity. So it's a very important challenge, and some aspects of these concepts actually pervade every workshop, even though the domains may be more specific. We look at communities of practice, networked kinds of communities that can build up their mutual trust and capacity to do good work together. We look at our, in the federal government, we look at our enterprise architecture as a framework to help us build the infrastructure that can hold our collective knowledge and, again, can enable us to build the trust and can co-evolve and co-develop what we need. And kind of our byword here is open collaboration and open standards. So we practice good questions. Julia has some questions for you, and I'm sure you even have questions that you bring to this particular workshop series. Some of them at the highest level that across all of our workshops include how can different communities of interest or communities of practice organized around common missions, needs in a more ongoing way to environment of creativity and trust that can lead to innovation. Our particular workshop is just sort of a day to experience that and don't create a means for this community to work together. You certainly may find that you would choose to do that with some of the colleagues that you meet today. And then also how, however, we want to put into place that type of generative framework that would allow multiple communities to go forward and take a multidimensional challenge to the level of collaborative prototyping. Find the governance, right level of governance that allows the right parties to go forward. And we also believe that there is a significant role for many of the mature and lightweight tools that you may be thinking of in terms of Web 2.0 as a support event. So the workshop series itself is co-sponsored not only by my office at GSA, Intergovernmental Solutions, but Richard and I co-chair an emergency subcommittee on the Sales Council's architecture committee. Also, I have some membership in the subcommittee, and together with Susie Iacono, we co-chair one of these coordinating groups. There's actually about seven. I won't read them. I co-chair the Social Economic and Workforce Implications of IP. And just for a moment, let me say that this group is actually located under Dr. Marburger's office. He's in the Office of Science and Technology Policy. There is a committee on technology, and under that subcommittee. So basically, by law, this body is comprised of federal agencies, primarily the science agencies, and they coordinate to advance the federal IT research and development agenda, and basically by coordinating, help to make those dollars go as far as possible and in a productive manner. Just a little more backdrop on the Emerging Technology Subcommittee, a little bit of what we say at times is, again, tuning up, moving from stove pipes to wind chimes, overcoming the insularity. The workshops are part of how we do that. We also contribute to kind of an incubator organizing process, and sort of the mantra for the subcommittee and the workshop series is in design we either hobble or support people's actual ability to express forms of expertise. Again, I think you're kind of getting a sense overall for what we're about. The workshop series, as I mentioned, are supported and recognized and valued by the CIO Council. We've done some policy work, governmental work for the CIO Council. In addition, we have Jim Disco here, who is our program manager for what we call ETDUC, and that's actually part of our life cycle process to accelerate our ability to find and expand and mature and validate capabilities that will be of interest in our federal settings. And we actually use this workshop series as a bit of a proofing place, and Jim can tell you more, but I would suggest that you might like to go to our site if you've got a capability that we think has merit. We welcome to post that in the FDNOC team. So moving on quickly, we've been doing this for quite some time now, every month, and we feel that it's very to what we would call connecting the cultural dots, dialogue, openness, transparency. As I mentioned before, it's kind of a means for all of us. We have our own sphere of responsibility. Get a little bit of time to get that large picture. We feel that's very valuable. And depending upon the workshop, we sometimes lay out what we feel are plausible scenarios, and it's in a way kind of practicing or rapid ad hoc organizing that, again, is part of the agility that we think our societies need, and it gives people an opportunity to practice together. I think I shared it. We, you know, what kind of holds us, again, together is a purpose larger than any of us. And also, I'll just say, I think it has, the fact that the series has continued, there is a value in there's no lines of control in this room, and there's going to be probably a, quite a range of difference. Really, it's the strength of these differences, the candid dialogue that I think is enlightening to the process, that third thing, dialogue. And I think then we all kind of return to our own settings, but overall, we know that it's very easy to suboptimize on the part, and hopefully this also can indirectly contribute to a better resource allocation process for results that we care about. We also use a collaborative work environment. I'm delighted that so many of you brought your laptops, because that would be the means by which we collect ideas during our breakout sessions. Different communities, spaces like this, in different ways. And again, it's fun and it's very valuable to lead with the sharing and provide an environment that minimizes the technical load and burden, but really enables the quality of the participation to excel. And again, we've been doing this for some number of years. I don't think I'll dwell on this, but we focus at some point on some of the emerging components. Again, if you look at the types of, I also work on a detail to the Department of Energy, the Office of Science, and I'm looking at distributed science communities that are supported by a middleware industry. That is very important for them to bring a level of sharing of technical resources, data, and computation. And it's really almost what we've been envisioning here in our more operational settings. I'm seeing these kinds of communities making great strides. And part of how this good development takes place when we're not in an isolated way. So, again, this is a concept of frontier outpost. Actually, is a term coined by Doug Engelbart long ago, and we like that this setting offers a bit of that spirit. In fact, a little bit later, you may hear some from Carl Higginstrike, because it turns out that on December 9 of 1968, basically 40 years ago, Doug conducted the first video conference, his team, and then the mouse, hyperlinks, basically the beginnings of the environment that we just sort of breathe very naturally today, 40th anniversary of that type of work was just celebrated at Stanford University last week. And so we go forward. And all in all, I'll just conclude by saying what we feel is that this provides the means to improve our individual and our collective leverage through the citizen service that we all are committed to. Just broad brush, these dates are posted on the website. These are the upcoming workshops, and I look forward to having you join us again. By attending this workshop, I unless you say no, I will add you to our list, and you'll be again as a public workshop so that we can pass on those information to others. So, thank you very much.